Linda Poitras, and you're listening to He Said, She Said, the one with books and bros. I'm so excited because we have our very first bro here with us today. Well, technically he's in Ohio, but virtually with us today. I'm so excited because Preston Keller is here, and now you guys are going to get to hear me read my first interview bio, so buckle up for that. Preston Keller has been a local youth pastor in Lancaster, Ohio for 5 years. He hosts an annual student conference called Rush Student Conference. Rush has begun to grow into a brand that exists to equip and resource youth pastors and leaders, as well as students. Part of that brand expansion is the Rush Student Ministry podcast. Preston attended IBC, dropped out of grad school, has a heart for missions and travel, and has also mentioned that coffee and good food are important too. I went to IBC with Preston, where I have to let you know that he was absolutely the man. Like, every bro wanted to be his bro. Every girl wanted to be his girl. Just, he was the best thing ever. But if you had asked me when we graduated, because we went all 4 years together, if I would look around my life now and you would still be here, Preston, I think that I would have said probably not. But here you are, and I'm so glad, if I'm going to keep some people, that you're one of them. So, in that vein, I want to talk about senior trip, which I think I need to let everyone know is the reason that I even wanted to do this podcast. So on senior trip, Preston had a book, Lincoln on Leadership, and I stole it from him, and I loved it. I loved it. I could not put it down. And so when we were going to do this podcast, I said that I wanted to talk about that book. And what did you tell me, Preston?
Well, I told you that, I don't know if we have video viewers or not, but here's the where on the book that is only from Melinda. She wanted to do this episode on this book, and I haven't read it yet.
I don't know why that shocked me, but it did.
That was going to be my senior trip read, but I ended up hanging out with Michael Mast, who his read was Hunger Games, as we talked about. But I don't think any of us, after chapter one, neither of us read the rest of the weekend, and you took on Lincoln on Leadership and finished it up for me.
Yeah, I loved it. So maybe you should read it. This is my recommendation. But since you haven't read that book, why don't you talk to us about a book you have read that we should be reading?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you so much for this invitation and congrats on launching this new podcast. You're amazing. This is going to be amazing. And the world needs to know about this podcast. So we're going to tell everyone that we can from our end and help you get the word out. So congrats on this. And thank you. Such an honor to be a guest on the podcast. So when you realized that I hadn't read Lincoln on Leadership, you said, well, is your number one recommendation? And I felt the tone, like, surely it's not still Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. But there are two Gene Edwards books that I have recommended to anytime anyone asks me, hey, what book do you recommend? A book? What are you reading right now? Whatever it might be. I always give them two. And these are the two books that I have given away copies to my friends the most of. And Tale of Three Kings, yes, is one of them. But the other one is The Prisoner in the Third Cell by Gene Edwards. The Prisoner in the Third Cell. And so you just want me to tell you a little bit about it?
I do.
So it's and you haven't read this one yet, right?
Mm-mm.
So you have read Tale of Three Kings, but not The Prisoner in the Third Cell. So it's in the way that Gene Edwards does so well in telling a story, painting a picture. You know, very dramatic. He is telling the story, the amazing story of John the Baptist and how he prepared the way for the Messiah, for Jesus to enter the scene and begin his ministry and journey to the cross. And John was such an important character in the narrative of Jesus, as we all know, and that even to the point that Jesus himself said in Matthew 11:11, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Like John the Baptist was, he had an incredible ministry. He was built for this, made for this, called to do this. And fast forwarding, we won't give the entire story of John the Baptist. I know most of your listeners would probably know who he is. Fast forwarding, John has to feel so fulfilled when he gets to baptize Jesus, right? That moment that was, he was literally called to do. He met Jesus. He baptized him in the water. But later, as life can and does so often, no one's exempt of this, situations arose, and John found himself in not such a mountain height of ministry going amazing, life going amazing. He finds himself in prison about to die, and doubt sets in, and he began to lose sight of all that God ever did in his life and through his life and ministry. He even began to doubt if Jesus was actually who Jesus proclaimed to be. And so from prison, John sends his disciples to Jesus, wondering if he was actually the one, right? John's entire existence, he was going to wait. He was going to baptize in the wilderness until Jesus arrived to be baptized. So John was forgetting the moment at the baptism in prison as he's going through all these thoughts. He was forgetting his own sermon that he preached in the wilderness. Mark 1:7-8, John preaching, saying, he said, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, as we all know," he said, "and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so John, he's forgetting what he preached himself, right? And then in Matthew 11, and I'll just wrap up with this. This is what the book paints, an amazing picture. I encourage every believer to read it. In Matthew 11, starts like this. "Now it came to pass when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities." Jesus's ministry was at the height. It was rocking and rolling. Verse 2 of Matthew 11, "And when John had heard from prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples," like we just said, "and said to him, sent this message to Jesus, 'Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?'" Right? Forgot his own sermon, forgot that moment of baptism when he knew that Jesus was Jesus. "And Jesus answered them and said to them, 'Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them.'" And watch this, verse 6 of Matthew 11. "And blessed is he who is not offended with me." John's in prison, offended, doubting, wondering, what has my life and ministry, I'm about to die in prison, has this been worth it? Is Jesus actually real? And Jesus sends that message back to John: "Blessed is he who is not offended because of me." And the question this book presents to its reader, it's even written on the front, and it says, "Will you follow a God who does not live up to your expectations?" Will you follow a God who does not live up to your expectations? So I recommend it to everyone, especially in the world today, everything that we're going through. You know, you have the classic, people ask the classic questions, and sometimes this is the route to atheism because they don't really have a full biblical grasp on how great and how good God is. They ask, well, all the evil in the world, there can't be a God, right? And we see in John's life, he had an incredible ministry. He was so expectant and he was so sure of what his calling was. He was going to usher in, you know, Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. That's what he was built to do, born to do, and called to do. And as we said earlier, Jesus said, this is one of the greatest men to ever live. And he even went through disappointment and doubt and had an idea of who Jesus was in his life, and later began to doubt that. He began to doubt the his own sermons. And so let that be an encouragement that if John the Baptist went through these things, it's okay when we go through these things. But we know overall that God is God, God is good. And I just encourage you to go through this journey in the way that Gene Edwards writes. Such great visuals and paints a picture. And I will warn you, I read this book almost every year. And by the end, when it's wrapping up, I have tears coming down my face, literally. So I recommend it. And it's a quick read. Melinda can read a book like Lincoln on Leadership on a weekend senior trip. It takes me like a year to read a book. But I'll tell listeners this, if you resonate with, my side of the reading world, this is a one session cover to cover book. You can finish it in less than 2 hours. Melinda would read it in 30 minutes.
So. Good to know, because Melinda ordered it while you were talking about it. So that's good.
Awesome.
Good. Just excellent. I think one of the things that I was thinking about when you were talking is that when it came down to it, John's expectations for his life didn't matter as much as long as Jesus was who Jesus said he was. And I would love to get to that place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just what I was thinking about. You told me yesterday that you have like a rule about book reading, something of that nature that you're going to talk about today.
Yes. I believe that I will be the guest on your podcast that will just raise an anthem for those who maybe are not that good at reading, but they might have they might love books and the idea of books and the look of books on a shelf and have maybe a slight addiction to Amazon. And maybe, I mean, the real readers, I'm sure, are Amazon regulars as well. But I had to place a rule on my own life, and Melinda doesn't know about this. I wanted to share it first here on the podcast, that I have to read 20 of my current books before I can purchase another one.
Oh no. This sounds like a rule that I need to implement. I don't like it.
20. You don't see it, but I'm looking at my bookshelf right now. And yeah, it's just something that I have to do because Dave Ramsey's not happy. Yeah, it's just not a good thing, especially in quarantine. That's when this rule, that's when this self-ban was put in place. So I've got to read 20 books before I buy my next one.
That is, I commend you for that. I'm convicted by that, and I'll consider it. I'll take that into consideration. My own walk with the Lord and book purchasing. Switching gears just a little bit. I obviously am a missionary kid. I grew up in Africa, but I did not understand the global impact that someone could have from their local community until you, really. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about that? What are some things that you can do to impact the globe from right where you're at? Or what are some trips you can take? You know, I don't care. Feel free. Go where you want to go with this.
Sure. Yeah. I am, for context, I have grown up my entire life as a pastor's kid. My dad, he loves to travel, and he put that passion into my sister and I. And, one of my first trips, we went to Canada as a kid, but you're not flying, right? We just drove from Ohio or Michigan. So my first trip, I believe I was an eighth grader, and my dad was going to preach in Northern Ireland. And so we tagged on a few days in London for sightseeing, So England was my first place to go. I was 13 or 14, I believe. And then we went over to Northern Ireland and got to check that out and just hooked right away. Just love for travel. And then, and not only that, but it's turned into a love for, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but a love for missionaries and what they do. And I have come to the realization through prayer and the way God has led my life since coming back home from Bible college, that I have a sure calling right now to be in Lancaster, Ohio, and where I'm youth pastor, as we already said. But I never, maybe this will help someone, even in this moment, I never put a ceiling or a cap on God's calling to where he might send me. And listen, there's a very good chance that I will be in Lancaster, Ohio for the rest of my life. And I love that if it's God's will. But even with knowing that I'm supposed to be here right now, and it looks like that is the potential journey, and I feel called to pastor and all that, I will never put a cap on God's call and God's will. And I'm willing to go on any of the seven continents, where including Antarctica. You heard me right. If I'm supposed to go reach scientists and penguins for the gospel, I will do it. But I may never. And Melinda knows this. The AIM program has always been on my mind. I would love to go, even just for the experience, go live in another country and serve a missionary for a month, 3 months, 6 months. Really, if that's attainable for you, talking to the listeners, talk to your pastor. If you feel called to do that, do it. I would love to, yet I've never felt released to at this point. So what does someone like me do? Maybe there are other PKs listening and you have a passion for missions, but you know that you're called to be where you're at right now. So maybe we can talk about some ideas of having a global reach from your local community. If you're a teen, if you're a young adult, you've never been out of the country, talk to your pastor about going on an AYC trip. Maybe your church hosts a missions trip every now and then or every year. Go on it. Go to another country if you can. Even if you know what? I say I would recommend everyone go on a missions trip if you're a believer. Just with your pastor's approval, of course. But go. Just go. It will broaden your worldview. You're going to experience another culture and not just going to a restaurant from another culture in the nearest big city to you, but you will be immersed into a different culture for whatever it is, 7, 8, 10, 12 days for a trip. Just do it. It'll make you experience in another country will make you a better person in every way. I believe that. So yeah, I mean, there are so many ways that you could you can impact global missions from your local church, from your local city. And Melinda and Brother Poitras, they would have much much more info and inspiration on this. But I mean, I know for missionaries, prayers from the U.S. If you're, please just pray for our missionaries. Pray for God to move in all the countries that we're in, and that God would send someone to the countries that we're not in yet. You can give, of course, through your local church or to global missions. Give to missionaries financially. That's an incredible way to partner and to make a global impact for the kingdom of God if you can't physically go. If you're listening and you know that you can't go on a trip, but you just heard we're inspiring teens and young adults to go on a trip, Sponsor them, give money towards their trip, all these little things. Now for me personally, I mean, I don't know if I'll ever check off the box for every country on this planet, but, I want to go everywhere. So, yeah, there's that. I don't know why I said that, but it's just true. You can't see this on the podcast, but my world map is behind me even right now. So, does that answer your question?
It does answer my question. That was excellent, actually. So that was good. Wonderful input and ideas. All right. I have a story, obviously. I always have a story. And we're going to wrap up. But before I tell my story, I do want you to talk about Rush Student Ministries. And then any closing remarks you have, you just go ahead and let those out there too.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about Rush. Real quickly, Rush is an old conference. It was started when Melinda and I would have been early in the youth group days, at that age. Brad Carpenter was the Section 3 youth leader in Ohio, and he had a vision to start a youth event that was halfway on the calendar between summer camps and our midwinter youth retreat, which would be like Ohio's HYC in February. And so he chose November. So Rush Student Conference is every November. Of course, he started this in 2001, and it was called the Holy Ghost Rush Rally. And just wanted an event to be a shot in the arm for students and leaders in that kind of lull time. You're coming to the end of the semester. You're about to get into the holidays. No one wants to be at school. In Ohio, the weather's getting dark and gloom and cold. And so he created this event. Honestly, it was his vision. And he wanted students to have an opportunity to be refilled with the Holy Ghost, and for students for the first time to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So I believe that, and he hosted the first one at Section 3. We are in Section 3, and he hosted the first three at least at our church. So we go back, way back with Rush, and that those first 3 years, I believe 53 students received the Holy Ghost for the first time ever, and one was baptized. So fast forward, years later, I became the Section 3 youth leader, and Rush was still existing, but it was not really in a place to fulfill that original mission. You know, section leaders come and go, and visions are different and all that. That's cool. So I felt to bring it back to the original mission. And so I won't take any more time telling the story of Rush. I could do an entire podcast episode just on Rush, but we have had five of them now at our church the last 5 years, and we went back to that original mission, and all praise to God, over 150 students have received the Holy Ghost for the very first time in the last 5 years. So we do it every November. We just want students' lives to be impacted, and we want to resource youth leaders. So it's just been an incredible journey with Rush. And now it's becoming more than just an annual conference. So we've got the Rush Student Ministry Podcast. It's a resource for youth leaders, for youth pastors. And we drop a new episode every Monday, and just trying to make that impactful, as impactful as possible. And I'll stop right there. I could go forever on Rush. So.
Yeah, I love that. Obviously, so proud of you. And thank you for coming on here today and sharing your heart and your stories and telling us what to read and telling me what I need to read before I purchase more books. Still kind of mad about that, but it's fine. But it's fine. I really treasure this friendship. And I wanted to talk today about the story that illustrates how it is not like a perfect friendship, about how you gave me the chance to preach like my first sermon in chapel. I don't know if you remember this. So guys, I had wanted to preach for forever, and Preston was in charge of what were, like, what was your title that you were in charge of scheduling?
So
student body president, is that why?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Our junior year.
Yes. So Preston, you know, asked me if I would speak and I said, yes, you know, whatever. I was so excited. And then when it came down to it, instead of like a full sermon slot, he gave me like a 5 minute, like with 17 other people sermon slot rather than, do you remember this?
No, we had multiple speakers.
Yes, we had multiple speakers. So it was like, eventually, I will say that he did give me a full sermon slot, but not the first time like I was expecting. So I had 5 minutes and I was so mad because Kirsten Stiegelman had preached like 40 times in chapel that year. I don't know if even that's possible, but that is what happened. Like on, this is how I was receiving this information. And I remember that I was like so angry. And I went to the prayer room and I was like, fine, Jesus, but you're going to have to teach me how to say something that matters with only 5 minutes.
Mm.
And so that has ended up being a wonderful skill that the Lord has given me because you went to school with me. I was not like preaching Mark Conference, but I could do like an intro at Mark Conference that would be 3 minutes long. And even at Youth Congress this year, I had to pray and it was like 45 seconds, you know, because those like wow. slots are so. And, but because of that incident and what happened in the prayer room, the Lord did teach me how to say something that matters with a limited amount of time. And then you gave me more time and it was all great. It hasn't been perfect because the P in Preston is for peacemaker and the P in Poitras is for pot stirrer, but we're still, we're still here. We're still friends. And I don't know. It's super cheesy, but I do treasure you and the impact that you've had on my life and the impact that you're making on our generation and the world. You're very important to me, but also to the planet. So.
Same. Back yes. at you. And this is exactly what happens in the relationship and friendship of Melinda and Preston. She articulates a phenomenal paragraph, and I'm just like, same. I love you too.
No, I do love you. Let's all keep showing up for imperfect, incredible friendships. Let's all keep reading. Perhaps the books already on our shelves. Let's all definitely listen to the Rush Student Ministries podcast, and let's all be better together.
You've been listening to He Said, She Said, the one with Books and Bros. Hopefully something you've heard made you smile, inspired you to think, or called you nearer to a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Thank you for taking time. Thank you for making space. We'll catch you next week, same time, same place.